From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
It has been an eventful year for fisheries in Alaska. In January, Kodiak tanner crab fishermen organized a stand down to protest prices that were much lower than the year before, as reported by KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth.
The boat harbors in Kodiak are still full, nearly 2 weeks after the area's tanner crab season was set to begin. Kodiak's fleet voted down an offer from local processors for $3.25 per pound for tanners on Friday. Canneries had initially offered $2.50 per pound ahead of the season. And Sunday night, crabbers voted to press pause on the season altogether until they get a price from canneries they think is fair. Kevin Abina is the secretary and treasurer for the Kodiak Crab Alliance Cooperative, which represents permit holders in the fishery.
We all thought we were going to be fishing, but we all understand why we aren't fishing. So we're just waiting.
Then, after a tense 2-week stand down, an agreement was reached. Here again is Kirsten Dobroth.
It wasn't exactly the deal Kodiak crabbers were hoping for, but ultimately, 80% of those in attendance at Saturday's meeting agreed. It was time to go fishing. Kevin Abina is the secretary and treasurer for the Kodiak Crab Alliance Cooperative, which represents the fisheries permit holders.
We stuck together. We're going to roll this thing out together, and we're looking at it as a victory.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Also in January, a lawsuit threatened to shut down king salmon trolling in southeast Alaska, as reported by KCAW's Robert Woolsey.
The Duval, Washington-based Wild Fish Conservancy filed suit against the National Marine Fisheries Service in U.S. District Court in 2019, arguing that a flaw in the agency's environmental analysis left a small population of endangered killer whales in Puget Sound exposed to further harm due to the interception of their primary food source, king salmon, also known as Chinook. In barest terms, the proposed remedy to correct this alleged oversight by NIMS involves shutting down the Southeast Alaska salmon troll fishery until the full impact of the Chinook harvest on southern resident killer whales can be assessed. If a judge signs off on the recommendation, trolling for king salmon in Southeast might be off limits for 10 months of the year, making the fishery uneconomic and unviable for many trollers.
Then, just as the season seemed about to slip away, on the morning of Wednesday, June 21st, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered a stay on an earlier lower court ruling that would have closed the fishery indefinitely. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has this report.
Alaska Trollers Association President Matt Donahoe was parked in his car when the email came through. He is rarely at a loss for words, but this news left him feeling elated and, for a moment, speechless.
Over the moon, but I'm so in shock and shaky that, just emotionally that I don't know what to think. I mean, I do know what to think. It's great news.
Hundreds of pages of motions have been filed in the federal court since the Wild Fish Conservancy first gave notice that it intended to sue the National Marine Fisheries Service in late 2019. The Ninth Circuit's stay order, however, is only 5 pages and among the most concise legal language of the entire case, stating, "A flawed agency rule does not need to be vacated on remand and instead may be left in place when equity demands." This is legalese for "don't throw out the baby with the bathwater."
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
In April, Kavitha George reported about the collapse of Western Alaska chum and Chinook salmon.
The disappearance of chum and Chinook salmon from Western Alaska has devastated indigenous communities along the Yukon and Kuskokwim, the two major river systems in the region. Tom Kriska lives in the Yukon village of Nulato.
We don't have the fish. Our kids are not learning anything. A lot of things that are affecting our way of life right now. And seems like no one cares.
The cause of the salmon collapse is a contentious issue. Scientists say climate change, warming rivers and oceans is likely at play. Many pro-subsistence advocates also blame pollock trawlers for intercepting salmon traveling inland from the Bering Sea. Right now, there are bycatch limits for Chinook salmon, but not chum. Trawlers argue that a bycatch limit won't change the situation much. In the last 2 decades, only about 10% of chum intercepted in the Bering Sea were headed for Western Alaska, according to genetic studies. Many indigenous and environmental advocates argue that the limits are necessary to protect food security and culture in the region, which is going on 3 years with no subsistence fishing. Brent Payne, executive director of Seattle-based United Catcher Boats, argued against one proposal to close the trawl pollock fishery during peak chum migration in July and August.
It's so costly to shut a plant and a fleet down and just say, we're going to start you back up again. But don't use a blunt tool if you can use something more surgical.
The North Pacific Fishery Management Council is considering a cap on chum bycatch for Bering Sea trawl fisheries.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Also in April, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council chose none of the above when tasked with devising a management plan for Cook Inlet sockeye salmon. KDLL's Sabine Pooks reported this wild salmon story.
At its meeting last week in Anchorage, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council was supposed to choose between several potential management plans for the Upper Cook Inlet commercial salmon fishery. The council manages fishing in Alaska's federal waters, which start 3 miles offshore. But members of the council, audibly frustrated, said none of the options before them were viable. Andy Mesereau is a charter boat captain out of Seward who sits on the council.
The court-mandated timeline has forced this council into a box that we find ourselves in. For these reasons, I can't support any of the alternatives before us today, and I hope the public notes that fisheries management on a tight court-mandated timeline does not allow us to do our best work.
The council has been trying to figure out what to do with the fishery for years, following a lawsuit from the United Cook Inlet Drift Association over management of the fishery. In 2020, in response, the council voted to close a large swath of Upper Cook Inlet to commercial salmon fishing altogether, that areas where drift fishermen say they catch a majority of their fish. And Kenai Peninsula fishermen and advocates showed up in mass to the 2020 meeting to protest the closure. USITA sued once again to overturn the decision, and the court sided with them last June. The state reopened the fishery just as the 2022 season was starting up. That was a temporary fix. At its meeting this month, the council was supposed to choose a new fishery management plan, or FMP. It's under court order to have a plan in place by 2024. Only a few fishermen showed up to the meeting to testify this time. One of them was Eric Hipsch, who lives in Kasilof and is a vice president of USITA.
Writing a legal FMP amendment for the Upper Cook Inlet salmon fishery does not have to be this difficult.
He asked the council to pass an amended version of Alternative 2, which would have set up a system of co-management between the states and the feds. But at the meeting, the state once again said it refused to co-manage the fishery with the federal government, rendering that option unviable. Two other options, to do nothing or close the fishery down completely again, were rendered illegal by the courts, so the council said it couldn't pick those either. The final option, known as Alternative 3, delegates management of the fishery to the federal government. John Kurland is a regional administrator with NOAA Fisheries, the national agency that works with the council to set fisheries policy. He tried and failed to get the council to choose that alternative.
We have been in a very difficult position on this issue, and I don't ever want to be in a position of needing to initiate secretarial action on one of the council's fishery management plans for any reason. So this is really unfortunate.
Advisory panels to the council said both alternatives could result in more restrictive management of the fishery. They said Alternative 3, in particular, would require federal managers to set up a system of federal salmon management that they don't already have in place. Kurland couldn't get any support on his motion. He said to comply with the court's order, he'd have to move forward with implementing that alternative anyway. Hibbs says the alternative as written violates the federal standards put forth in federal fisheries law because it sets catch limits and puts dates on fishing closures, for example.
It's clear to most people that Alternative 3 is designed to fail, or at least create a failed fishery.
He says he doesn't expect the alternative to hold up in court. In the meantime, in the absence of any decision from the council, it heads to the feds for approval. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
What?
Take it easy, Terry.
Okay. You too.
And hats off to all of the fantastic reporters who contribute to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Thank you.